You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Really happy to have Chad Austin on the show. He is a personal trainer and a fitness author. Chad Austin. Sorry. Welcome.
What?
Welcome.
What was that?
It's episode 135 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick, two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is the great Anna Vecchino, co-host of the Angriest Trainer podcast and a chef cookbook. And among other things, she's a comedian, and she's on commercials and all sorts of things. Then it's another moderately funny edition of the Humans Being Human segment with my buddy Chad, hopefully, time travel talk, and wrap up with our Simply Human tip of the week. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. By the way, it's not called the Angriest Trainer podcast. It's called just a celebrity fitness trainer with Vinny Tortorcini and Anna Vecchino.
Well, excuse me for living.
Well, I don't know. I think they changed it a while back because they didn't want people to think he's too angry, but he's very angry.
He's very angry.
I'm not angry, so whatever.
We can talk about it. It's the Vinny Tortorella show. Just Google that and you'll find it.
Anna, she's in a very equal part of it. She's as important as he is.
Right, yes. When did they start that? It's been 3-4 years ago?
It's been longer than that, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Very, very cool stuff. Vinny he's the one who came up with the music for the show, the intro music. He was the first guest on the show. He was instrumental in getting us off the ground. So always indebted to the great, angry Vinny. Just really quick, I wanted to mention something. Bring it on down now, talk. The whole Dallas shooting, you're a police officer, which is a few...
Hey, let's bleep that out.
Okay, so you are close to the area. And
very close.
I was very touched that so many of our listeners emailed... texted, called the 530-42-HUMAN, Facebook, making sure you're okay. It made me get the little throat frog thingy, like thinking about. And then of course, when that's all going down, I'm texting you and I'm like trying to call you, like what the heck? I'm worried out of my brain as well. So thank you for the listeners for your concern.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me. I don't want to piggyback on that and be like, yes, give me attention. I didn't have anything to do with it. I was a few miles away when it was happening. In fact, my first indication that anything that was amiss was Lonnie texted me on my phone and he was like, hey, you okay? And I was like, sure am, why? And then that's when we started getting the messages on my computer from dispatch and all that stuff. So, it's a horrible thing. I appreciate people's support that's coming out for law enforcement. I don't need your prayers quite as much as the families of the five Dallas officers that were killed. So, if you're the praying kind of person, you can leave me out if you want. I'm good. Pray for their families, though. Yeah. And it's really strange. Like, I'm 36. I've been – my 11-year police anniversary was Monday of this week. So
wow, really?
I've been doing it for a little bit. And part of me, has been like, I'm getting in my mid-30s and I'm about to, theoretically, hopefully make like an assignment change and go to go to another specialty here pretty soon and all that stuff. I think that I'm out of the woods as far as danger is concerned.
And then something like that happens.
Well, these guys, all of them except for one of them, are older than me.
Yeah.
One of them was right close to retirement. A couple guys in their 40s, a guy in his 50s, a guy in his, I think, late 30s, like 39, if I'm not mistaken. So it just kind of drives home that every day, I'm not one of those, hashtag blue lives matter, hashtag never forget kind of persons. I try not to think about it, but it just kind of drives home the idea that it's a dangerous world and sometimes, the danger hits us closely. So it just kind of refreshes my memory.
Yeah.
As if I needed my memory refreshed, it just does it a little bit. So
right.
But thank you to everyone who reached out. It's very, very touching to me. And I know the law enforcement community right now, we appreciate people's support I'm not here to get into any kind of social debate. I think there. I think what we need to be doing more of as a society is listening to other people's perspectives
and loving each other. How about that?
Well, I'm just listening and loving, like listening
same
to
thing.
What somebody else says. Just because you know somebody else might come from a different perspective, maybe you should listen to what they have to say. Maybe yeah. we should do more listening as a country and being human to each other.
Yeah. Well, we all back the blue and we support you. And
no,
we,
I mean honestly, I understand not everybody does, and
right.
I get that.
Yeah.
We represent a lot of things to a lot of different people. I try to treat people with respect and professionalism every time I have contact with people.
And that is true. Like I've been on ride-alongs with you, and that is I have always been just not shocked, but very impressed. With it doesn't matter who it is, you give if they're giving you respect, and even if they're not, you're yeah. just blinding them with respect and yes or no sir to you know.
And I understand it's not like that in every community in yeah. this country. There's a lot more contention between the populace and the police departments in other cities. Not the one that I work in. We have a very good relationship with the people that we work for. So. But I do recognize that other people have different perspectives. They grew up yeah. with different backgrounds. They grew up with a different reality than I have. So it's my job to listen. It's my job to respect other people's points of view. And I think we need to be doing more of that in this country.
Good. Okay. So not to bring it on down too much. I have a poop story.
Okay. Well, let's rebound back up to our level of Algonquinian roundtable conversation.
That was an amazing word that you just used. Okay. So the guy that's going to be on Humans Being Human, his name is Chad. He's a good friend of mine. Big, big old guy. He played football at Baylor. He was an offensive lineman at Baylor, and then he transferred to the school that I played at and finished out there. We're in I think I've talked about it before, Simply Human's own Blake, who's been on several times. He forgot his 10-year anniversary. We're in this group, and there's a weekend, I think we've talked about it, called the Tournament of Champions, and it's like 20 guys.
Yes, you've talked
guys.
About it several times.
Okay, well, there's this text thread.
It's an excuse for guys to go and just get drunk and play horseshoe.
Well, I don't know about the drunk thing. That's
I do.
To each his own. I don't know about any of that. I go to play Sporting Clays and Washers and win a competition. But anyway, there's this text thread, a TOC text thread, and we're all always playing pranks on each other and joking around with each other, and it's just this funny thing. So there's this big sort of thing about one of the guys owns a company in Dallas, and he bought a bunch of Yetis, like those 20-ounce Yeti mugs, and put
like
his.
We're actually talking about the giant like, Bigfoot-like creature.
Oh no! The coolers and the cups.
But a herd of Yetis.
Yeah. Very expensive. And so he slapped his company logo on these cups, and there's only like four guys in the group that have these cups. And it's like everybody wants a cup, but he's only given them to a few guys. And so there's this big thing about, you know, send me a cup. Toby, he's been on the show. Send me a cup. And so Blake went and bought one of those Bubba cups, like a just like a regular old $10 cup. And he drew the company logo on the cup and was like, you know, like, screw you. I don't need your cup. I got my own here. Well, Chad texts me and he says, I need you to steal, because Blake lives in my neighborhood. He says, I need you to steal that cup and mail it to me.
Oh, that would be a good one.
And I was like, okay, all right, how am I going to do this? So,
like Mission Impossible
right,
style,
yeah.
like repelling from the ceiling.
So here's how I did it. So Blake, I knew that Blake was going to be at a dinner thing on like a Thursday night or something. And so it was a Wednesday because I was coming home from something else, and I texted my wife, Blake's wife, Blake, and me are in a little text thread. And so I texted that group, hey, Stephanie, and we had just shot fireworks over there the night before. I said, can I think I dropped something out of my pocket, a little thing, like mints or something. I think it's in your backyard. I can't find it anywhere. Can I come by and look for it? Yeah, sure. Okay. Blake's not there.
Why didn't you just tell her you're going to steal the cup?
No, because she would tell. She's loyal. She's loyal to the end, and I know that. So I couldn't tell her. So I show up. The boys are in bed. She's awake, like eating dinner. You know, it's like her time, like to watch her show and have her dinner. And here I come, looking. So I have the mints in my pocket. So I go out in the backyard. I'm looking. We're both kind of kicking.
I can only imagine how you're going to screw this up.
Well, no, just wait. So I'm out in the backyard. I'm kind of kicking around, and oh, here it is. So I have the mints in my pocket, and I reach down and I pretend like I pull them up out of the grass. I'm like, oh, got them. You know, haha. Well, I'm walking back through the kitchen, and I see the cup. On, and I don't even know if the cup is at the house. He might have the cup, but it's like sitting on the counter by the refrigerator. And I'm like, okay. And she's like standing there, you know, like I hadn't thought this through. If I'd like maybe thrown my keys,
so I punch her in the face, knock her out,
hit her with a sledgehammer, she died. Yeah, so Blake's mad. So I'm like, how am I gonna get this cup? I'm like so close, I can't just abort the mission because I'm like the cup is within arm's reach. So she, while I'm there, she's like, oh, you know what? We overbought spinach. Here, take some of this spinach. So she's like handing me the spinach, you know, out of the refrigerator.
We overbought spinach.
Yeah, she like had two things of spinach, and they weren't going to eat it all.
You and your friends.
Whatever. So I'm like, I got to get this cup. How am I going to get this cup? Well, it's like the perfect thing. She hands me my daughter's jacket, or like the sweater thing that she had the night before. She's like, oh, Halen left this
man,
here.
Man, I'm shooting your story so full of holes. Why does your daughter have a jacket? It's July in Texas.
We took it over because of mosquitoes. Instead of spraying mosquitoes, she just took like a long sleeve, like hoodie thing to wear while we were shooting fireworks. She didn't wear it. She just had it, but she left it over there. So she gives me like the perfect thing to wrap up the cup in to steal. But she's standing there. Like, I can't just like, you know, do it. I've got to figure out a way to get her back in the living room, but she's like standing
there. Look at
that
over there.
Yeah, she's like standing there waiting for me to leave so she could like finish her dinner.
Just making herself comfortable.
Well, and so like she gives me the spinach, and this is when the wheels fell off. I'm just like standing there like, she's like, are you okay? Like, what are you, like, she's like, why aren't you leaving? It's basically kind of how she was acting. And I didn't want to leave, and I was trying to, and I'm like looking around, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, and like, so finally, like, I start walking, and then I go back into the kitchen after she's walking to the living room. She is like, what? She's so confused. It's the most awkward moment, but she's enough around the corner where I grab the cup and I leave. But she immediately sends a text that was like, Mark just like had a stroke in my kitchen. He was acting really weird, and I wrote back like, oh yeah, I lost my phone, or like my phone was in my car. I thought I left it in your kitchen. I made up something. But she was like, I thought you were like trying to take something of Blake's. And I was like, oh, idiot. It's like she's got me. You know, like, she's going to come home and find the cup is gone.
Mark,
and know exactly.
Deny.
Well, but listen, so I didn't give it away completely. Chad and I are talking, and I'm like, I have the cup. She suspects something because I completely ruined that. What I should have done was like thrown my phone and keys by the cup, walked to the front door with her, and then said, oh, I left my keys in the kitchen, and then gone around and gotten it. That would have been totally non-suspicious.
That would have been smooth.
Right.
That would have been not Mark.
Right.
Yes.
So the next morning, after I'm gonna mail Chad the cup, like the next morning, Thursday morning, and I've thought about it, and I decide that I can't betray Blake in this way. So we decide to double-cross Chad.
You can't betray Blake in this way.
Yeah. So I decide I'm going to betray Chad. So what? I call Blake up. You know,
oh,
I,
my God.
Thursday morning, Blake. Hello? Blake, I'm sorry. I stole your cup. I have your cup. And then, of course, it's like, okay, that explains why you were being so weird. I imagine, like, Stephanie probably thought I was about to try to, like, kiss her or something. Like, that's how, like, awkward.
Shank your pants down. You're like, so. What's up?
That's how awkward it was, you know? Like, she was like, what are you doing? So that explained all that. And I was like, okay, we got to. So what we ended up doing was I had a box that looked like a cup would fit in it. And so Blake and I took a video of me, of us putting his big dog, all his poop in the backyard. We shoveled it up and put it in a Ziploc bag and took a video of us doing this, and we mailed that to Chad. So, and I don't tell Chad that we're doing this, so he gets the package Monday thinking that it's Blake's cup, and he opens it up, and it is a Ziploc bag full of dog crap. and I put some, like, he loves Twinkies and like Ho-Hos and like Little Debbie's, so I put like, I opened up Twinkies and put them in with the dog crap, you know, so like he couldn't eat them, but like they were right there. And so, yeah, well, I guess he could if he wanted to. So we double crossed Chad. So I feel like I saved the prank. Was that an acceptable prank?
Yeah, that's pretty good. It would have been way funnier if you would have yourself crapped in the bag.
Well, we thought about that, but then we were like, hold
There's
on, is that
in, it just way more sterile, yeah, feeling about dog poop,
yeah,
than human poop. Like, I go out before I mow the lawn and I pick up all the dog poop. It
right.
Doesn't take that long, but like, I, you know, I'll just use a put my hand inside of a plastic grocery sack and pick it up,
right,
that way.
Right.
But I would never dream of picking up a human turd that way. I would want like five layers of protection. So
like a mask. Well, we thought about that, but then we were like, is that illegal to do that? Is that, would you get in trouble?
I don't know. Yeah. Feeling a human turd.
I don't know.
We'll have to find somebody. Yeah. We'll have to have on someone from like the Postmaster General.
Is it? So,
tell us the legality of mailing a human.
Yeah. Doo-doo. Well, the other jokes on us is that it cost me like $20 to mail them. So Chad's like, oh, cool.
That's one more person that you could have given their life for the movie theater.
What I was going to say.
Next time, just have to sit there and take it.
Yeah. I would have $20. Man, sir, if I had $20, I would give it to you and ask you to leave. Oh, man. Well, all right. We need to get to the interview with Anna. So go to the website, simplyhumanlifestyle.com. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Snapchat, at simplyhuman52. Go to the store page, and there's all our stuff. There's a Donate Now button there, and there's a Donate Now button in the show notes of this show if you want to throw a little change our way, if you think what we're doing is worth anything. During the hot dog segment, we're going to talk about a new structure of the movement programming, monthly programming that I offer. I've been working with more and more people, and I'm gonna kind of change for the better. I think I'm going to change the agreement, and we're going to talk about that in the hot dog segment, so stay tuned there. Email the show, simplyhumanlifestyle@gmail.com. You can email Rick at simplyhumanrick@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Leave us an iTunes reviews.
We're getting a ton of iTunes reviews.
Have we?
A lot of ratings.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know how it happens. Sometimes we'll see the narrative reviews. Sometimes we don't. It's very random, but like we've been getting a bunch of star ratings, especially. So thank you to everyone who's taken their time to do that. Especially to the person who I think I put in our Facebook page. His review was entitled
Poop,
Butt,
and
the text of it was just Poop. So thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, here's Anna. We talked to her about all sorts of fun things, interesting things. Do you remember, you may not even remember this, but at the beginning of our show and in the middle of our show, for the last, what, Rick, 2 years?
It's been a while, a couple of years.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
You gave us like a couple little stingers with your special radio.
You're listening. You're listening to the Simply Human podcast.
Yeah.
We've used them on every show since you've been the
host. That's cool.
A long time ago. So Anna Pacino,
I'm
going to
send you guys a bill for that.
I know. Well, we've talked about that before.
No, I'm just kidding. I would never. I don't care.
Yeah, like what it would have cost to like book the studio and like have you do all that. Like, man, we really. It's like my brother owns a design studio in New York, and so like I'll call him up when I need something.
Yeah.
And his name is Jeff, but his full name is Jeffrey Rogers. And so I'll say, hi, is this Jeff with jefffreedesign.com? And he's like, no, it's not. You need to pay me money.
Jeff, I'm putting my finger like I'm having a fake mustache on. Jeffrey no longer works here.
Right. So you're Anna-free. Anna-free Vicino.
Exactly.
So Anna, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time since
you've
been
on. Wait, are we on the air?
We are. We're recording.
I just said a curse word. Is that okay?
I think I heard it, but I go back and bleep
it. Will you bleep me?
Oh, it's no big deal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know not to do it.
Oh, it's fine. Rick, you know what's weird? I meant to tell you this earlier. Two shows ago, Rick was really mad at me, and I seriously had to use my bleeping tool about, what, Rick, a dozen times?
I uncorked.
Yeah.
Like a drunken sailor on Mark.
And then last week, I didn't have any bleeps, and it felt like, you know, you walk out of the house and you're like, you know you don't have something that you're supposed to have. Like, it just, I felt really weird publishing it, not having any. I was like, there's got to be.
It's too clean. Sometimes things are too clean.
Yeah, that's never good. So, well, Anna, the last time you were on,
was it a couple years ago? Really?
Yeah, I think it was, and it was with you and you and Vinny were on
together.
Yes,
that's right.
And
that was fun.
So we've never had you on, and so we've never gotten to like really talk to you. Vinny's always there interrupting us and like making jokes about
that's
my hat
does.
And making
that's
fun of
does.
Me. So let's start off with your story. How about your origin story? Your background. How did you get to where you are
in the graphic
today?
Novel of Anna's life?
Right.
The origin story.
Paint us a picture.
Begins in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Texas.
Nope.
You were born? You came out of your mother's womb?
I was born in Richmond, Virginia, and I grew up in Arlington, Virginia. And I had a single mom, and she was not able to cook a lot. So, and I was obsessed with watching cooking shows.
Huh.
And so I would watch like The Frugal Gourmet and Julia Child on
TV.
That was the other thing. I had to watch PBS because my mom wouldn't let me watch trashy TV. And
like The
frankly,
Simpsons?
There weren't a lot of cooking shows on regular TV anyway. They were all on PBS at that point in the 70s and 80s. before there were, before cable got big and we had the Food Network and stuff. So I would watch those cooking shows and I would just be like, oh, I wish I had that kind of food. And I would like go in the fridge and it would be like steakums and like whatever food we had in 1982, you know, like whatever. We had like Tang. Actually, there, it's funny how parents draw the line too. She was like, we're not buying Tang. That's garbage. But I'll let you drink Coke and
pop tarts.
Yeah. So we can't have, I couldn't have cereal that had sugar in the first three or four ingredients or something like that.
That's at least a little bit of effort. That's okay.
Yeah, it was a little, she was trying. But then like I was in ballet all the time and then we would go to McDonald's every time after ballet because I was so hungry and it was 9 o'clock at night and, you know what I mean? So
Rick,
like,
do you
what messages are we sending here?
What are steakums, Rick? Do you know what steakums
are? Mark, you don't know what those are? We used to have those all the time growing up. It's like it's like sliced steak, like you would put like in a Philly cheese steak sandwich type, but if they're frozen. Oh my gosh. We used to, me and my brother.
You do them in the toaster oven.
We would do it that way, or we had like an electric griddle, and we would put them on the electric griddle to cook them up, and they were they were awesome.
See, when I remember,
I'm sure they're probably like the worst quality meat possible.
Yeah. No, that's like the the John Candy movie, The Great Outdoors. That's those steakums come from the lips and a holes.
Those cows all died of cancer. That's how they killed them.
Then we ate them.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yay!
So I remember. I remember Bagel Bites, Rick. You remember Bagel Bites?
Very much
Is
so.
Is that still a thing? Are there still Bagel Bites?
It's still a thing. I haven't eaten one in years.
Like
but
pizza rolls,
I still see them.
Toaster strudels was big in our house.
Listen, a lot of processed foods my mom wouldn't spend money on. So things like toaster strudels and Pop-Tarts were like, she wouldn't buy those things because really what you're getting, you only get like, what, 6 Pop-Tarts in a thing?
Yeah,
right.
they're not even a good value. Yeah.
No, they're not a good value, and it was too expensive, so she wouldn't buy things like that. So it was like we really bought like the bargain basement processed foods. Steakums was one of them.
Steakums. I can't believe of all my processed food experience, Rick, I've never had a steak. I feel like I need to go have a Steakums now.
Then you can go have a diarrhea in your pants.
Yeah. Good times.
That is good times. Okay, so then what? Then what happened after you ate that Steakums?
Well, see, I was always a latchkey kid, so I had to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
You know? And then I really quickly kind of figured out if I was going to eat anything healthy, I needed to make it. My mom taught me how to bake. She was a good baker. So if she's home on the weekends, she would make stuff. But she had a full-time job at the Library of Congress. Then she would come home and teach piano until like 10 o'clock at night. And then she would teach piano all week. So like literally she just worked like 42 jobs.
I
imagine
the Library of Congress.
She was never around. So I just figured everything out.
Was she like the librarian in the Library of Congress? She's like shushing all the senators. Like,
yeah, I was just about to say the senator walks in and she shushes them.
That would be perfect for her personality profile. But no, she was a copyright, like a person who did the copywriting of books.
Oh, cool.
Like, when you mail your book in, she's the lady who would enter it into the computer.
Awesome. I put in the show notes Librarian of Congress. So
okay, that's not even accurate.
That's not even a thing, I don't think.
It's not a lady with, you know, white hair in a bun, glasses. Shushing people with corduroy skirt. Like that's not what happens.
That's not a thing. Okay.
No.
Okay. So after the Library of Congress, what happened to you?
Anyway, so I went on to college and I moved to Atlanta, and I ate like dog crap. Like
We just talked about dog crap, actually, didn't we, Rick?
Yes, we told a dog crap story. You know what you're saying, Anna, is like I think that's everyone who went to college can universally.
Yeah, I know.
I used to go to McDonald's on Tuesdays. They'd have like 29-cent hamburger day, and I would get like 10 McDonald's hamburgers.
That was
like,
such a great day, right?
I'm so smart with my money. I only spent $22.90, and I'm so
full.
This
is what
I'm
saying.
So you had you had 100?
But I always was able to eat whatever I wanted and be super skinny, which is probably that's the worst thing that could happen. Like if there's an immediate result where you gain weight or you get sick,
then your habits
change.
Then you
know,
right.
And there's a causal relation that's happening.
Right.
But for me, I was super skinny. So I was like, and I even had, and you know, it's bad when you have when you're like 23 and you have other 23-year-olds telling you, you need to back off the way you eat. It's frightening, like, people. Yeah.
Like you have ketchup. There's ketchup always on your face.
Always,
like, and on your shirt.
And I would be like, I want to go get an ice cream, and it wouldn't be like an ice cream. It would always be Dairy Queen, or like it was just like the worst. Yeah. And anyway, So I finally, when I was 28 and I had a 2-year-old, I was diagnosed with celiac disease. And the only reason that I was diagnosed was because my mom was diagnosed. I didn't think I had any symptoms or was sick at all because I was so young. Turns out after I was diagnosed, I got a DEXA scan. Turns out I had osteopenia. I was extremely anemic. Jeez, I mean, and it's so rare to have a 28-year-old have osteopenia, which is the step right before osteoporosis.
Yep.
But so thank God she was diagnosed so that I could be diagnosed. Cause then it made me clean up my act,
yeah.
You know? And, I didn't even realize that basically I wasn't digesting a nutrient for my entire life. However, I don't think I was putting a lot of nutrients into my body except for Flintstone vitamins. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't pretty.
Now you're talking. And Steak-ums.
And Steak-ums. Like, I would wrap Flintstone vitamins like a roll up and Steak-ums.
I was gonna say that you like crunch them up and sprinkle them on like salt. Like your Flintstone
vitamins.
I had to
put more sugar on my Steak-ums. Yeah. So that's how I roll. But only the purple Flintstones vitamins, the Dino ones.
Oh man, that's amazing that you remember that.
That is a callback right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm old, but I still remember stuff from when I'm old. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Okay. So you may or may not have graduated.
I did graduate. Okay. Proud to say I have a degree.
From Emory University.
Yep. Double major in history and French, and paid off my student loans about 10 to 12 years later. Can't remember how to speak French, but thank God I majored in it. So that's good.
For sure.
Smart. I make smart
comment
choices,
tu t'appelles?
Guys.
Comment tu t'appelles?
Je m'appelle Anna.
Very good. See, Rick, we're having a conversation, so you can just butt out.
I will.
Nous parlons français sans Rick.
She called you a bad word. I'm going to bleep that.
No, I didn't. I did not. I said nothing
that.
Of the sort.
Yeah.
I said, Rick, am I right? That guy.
Yeah.
See? So you,
I agree.
So that was worth it? Your degree was worth it?
Yeah. So I just say, what? My name is Anna.
So you could have a 1-second conversation on a podcast 20 years later.
Exactly.
Okay.
I did go to Paris a couple weeks ago, and that was good.
I did see that. I want to talk about that later, so bookmark that. I did see that on your Facebook.
Oh, the dairy. All right, we'll get to that. So I cleaned up my act, and I cut out gluten, and that's all fine and well. And I've also, over the years, taught myself how to cook. I do love cooking at home. So I became quite a good little cook. I like doing it. People come to me to make things. I'm always the friend that you text and say, hey, I'm buying this cut of meat. What does that mean? How do I prepare? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it kind of drives me crazy because there's a thing called Google.
Yeah, like Google, idiots.
but me being the little helpful lady that I am can't help myself. Some guy emailed me the other day. Oh, no, put a post on my blog because I have this recipe, orange coconut popovers. It's a breakfast recipe, and of course they're made without grain, so they're not traditional popovers. They're not like really puffy, grainy baked goods, but they're a little more compact because they don't have grains, but they're really good for breakfast. And so a guy posted saying coconut cream has 14 grams of sugar, you might as well just put Gatorade in there. And I immediately was like, well, you must have the wrong kind of coconut cream. And then I found his email through the comments and emailed him.
You're like, and then I found his mailing address and I mailed him a bomb.
And then I flew there yesterday and I set him straight. No, he did send me a picture of his coconut cream. And sure enough, the second ingredient in it was sugar and it had 14 grams of sugar.
Well, that's on him for buying stupid coconut cream.
I know. I was like, what are you doing?
Right.
But then I thought, is that confusing to people? Because I just thought coconut cream was coconut cream. So maybe there does need to be some clarification. But it was just funny. I was like, no, you're not getting away with this, Matthew.
Send us his mailing address and we'll put it in the show notes.
Well, you want to put it up?
That is amazing to me. You are basically self-taught how to do all the stuff in the kitchen. Right?
Yeah. I am self-taught.
God.
It's like an amalgamation of watching cooking shows, which I think to me were super helpful because they would go through, especially the unedited ones in the 80s, they would go through all the steps, you know?
When they burn their fingers and start cursing and then they don't edit
them.
It's
real. Yeah. They would spill stuff. Like it wasn't like slick and, you know, which kind of like is like my Periscopes that are very unrefined.
Well, do you remember the Saturday Night Live sketch? Was it Dan Aykroyd, the Julia Childs, and I've cut the Dickens out of my finger. And then he's just bleeding all over the whole thing.
I mean, it's based somewhat in truth because she was a mess and would make a big mess and you know.
Yeah.
And then I worked, my best friend owned a catering company And so at the end of college and a few years out of college, I would go there. And when you have to cut 4,500 red peppers a certain
really
way,
good
you
at
learn
it.
How to cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn how to prep food. Well, and,
what do you think about all the, there's these subscriptions you can sign up to now and they like send you the ingredients and
you know, I'm wary of those only because I have so many food restrictions, but I'm really curious to try one.
I want to
see what the quality of food is like.
Yeah, we've tried it, and we have it set up to be sent every other week instead of every week. And
it's just one meal?
Yeah, and it's like it comes in little perfect little serving bottles, little cute little bottles if you just need this much vinegar. And like,
well,
here's
the packaging
thing.
Sounds incredibly expensive then.
Right, but it's like, it's really not. Like when you like break it down, like it's like $60 for three meals.
And that's not bad.
And it's,
because I can't tell you how many times like I go to the store. Like for instance, for Father's Day, I got a food dehydrator, and I'm going to make my own beef jerky. Well, the recipe that I found called for two sage leaves. Well, you can't just buy like two leaves of sage. You have to buy a whole package. Well, I'm gonna end up throwing 85% of these sage leaves away.
Welcome to cooking at home in America.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
This is what we do.
So maybe like you're probably paying a little bit more for like the packaging, but you're probably wasting a lot less for what Mark's talking about because they send you exactly what you need.
But here's the thing, like that I'm not saying that everybody should just do that and then it, like, but after we've done that a few times, then it's like that there's a night that we're out of those meals, like you learn stuff from the recipes, right? You learn like,
if I
saute this that way, that makes it do this. And then
you're like, oh, if I only made shallots that way, now it'll taste so much better. Yeah. Like you'll learn a technique of cooking, I'm sure.
And so I'm thinking like when you're doing the catering thing, like you're just picking up on all these little
things.
And if you never cook, you don't
And understanding
like,
different flavor profiles, especially like I understand Southern food really well and I understand Italian food really well. Mm. And then some other cuisines that I just get into, but you understand like what the different flavor components are. You start to understand how, you know, how you use vinegar in a recipe to cut the fat, to cut the richness of stuff instead of using sugar to cut the richness. You know, there's different.
Have you read the Michael Pollan book Cooked?
No, I haven't read that one.
Have you heard it? I mean,
do you guys hear my dog crying?
No.
Okay, hold on. Vamp for a second. I'm letting the dog in.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Cooked. So, Rick, this book, I guess she wants to hear about it. I listened to this book.
Okay, I'm back.
No, that doesn't count. Okay.
No. I'm telling you, I'm disclosing to you that I'm telling you that I didn't read it. I listened to it.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Anna, we have a longstanding argument that Mark thinks it counts. When you say I read a book, to listen to an audiobook is the same thing as reading it, and I disagree staunchly.
I'm with Rick on this
Dang
one.
It.
Thank you, Anna. You are smart.
Okay.
But anyway, Mark, you were saying you listened.
I listened to a book, and it's called Cooked, and there are four chapters. And the first chapter is like cooking with fire. The next chapter is cooking with water. The next chapter is cooking with earth, like fermentation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next
they used to throw kimchi in the ground and just let it sit there for a couple months.
And it's so fascinating, and you learn like it's really interesting
how to cook how they cure things with salt.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, they didn't used to have refrigerators and freezers. Like they had to eat, and they figured it out. And that's like sometimes. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, somebody sent me something the other day about you take egg yolks and you put them in salt for like a couple of days, 3, 4, 5 days, and then they basically turn into like they're almost like the hard-boiled egg consistency, and then you like grate it over salads.
Ooh.
And it has a totally different – it actually has like a sweeter flavor.
I thought you were going to say you put salt on egg yolks and 5 days later it's a steakums.
Right,
I'm sure.
Mark, I'm calling for an end to all Mark-related steakums.
Sorry,
gone to that well too many times.
Did that qualify as a joke? I mean, I think. That's
oh no,
hateful.
I don't think it does. I do not think it does.
Well, Anna, what do you think?
It was more of a reference than a joke.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was like suggestion.
Thank you.
Of a joke.
Thank you, Anna. So I don't know if I should be saying thank you to that.
No, I don't think you should. I think I insulted you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Right. It's okay.
I don't know.
Oh, it's okay. Rick said it's okay, so it's okay.
I don't know the difference. But one thing interesting out of that book, just kind of a cool point, is that back how they used to cook bread, when you had a sourdough like bacteria, you had a starter.
Right.
It was a very long, slow process, and so the way that they used to make bread. There was a lot of pre-digestion outside of the body, and so all the gluten and all the lectins and everything that's causing all the celiac and all that were broken down, And so there weren't any gluten intolerances. But now that they've sped up the process, then now like that stuff isn't broken down because it's such a fast process. Now you're getting all the gluten and celiac stuff. Is that
right?
Do you have
well,
like?
Well, this is the thing with celiac. They still don't quite understand why the proliferation of all autoimmunes, but definitely celiac. They're trying to figure out, is it the quality of the wheat, which I believe is addressed in Wheat Belly?
Right. Great book.
Is it our gut microbiome is messed up because we've eaten so much processed foods? Is it, you know, like what you said, is it the gluten was processed differently with the bacteria and stuff? Yeah. Or is it just that we're so sterile and we've used too much Purell? I've heard like, oh, yeah. It's babies who are born through C-sections. They don't get the mother's bacteria. Like I've heard all sorts, like nobody knows though. Really, right. Nobody knows. We did have Kieran Krishnan on the podcast. It should come out soon. And he was interesting. He's a gut dude.
Yeah.
And he knows all about leaky gut, which is now being called intestinal permeability, which
yeah.
he said is at the basis of almost everything. So then the immune system just freaks right. out.
Yeah, we had Michael Ruscio, Dr. Ruscio on the show, and Ruscio on the show, and he's like a fellow gut dude. I think that's on his business card, actually, just like gut dude.
Gut dude.
Yeah.
I like gut dudes because someone out there is trying to figure out what the frick is wrong with me.
Yeah, right. We're finding out it's so connected to every single
your brain
process of your body.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's just amazing. But I want to talk more about your cooking before we get too far off.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is what I have to say to you, Anna Vecchino.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Thank you. You have.
Oh, and I thought it was going to be
something worse.
I'm not being hyperbolic here. You've changed my life.
Yep.
What?
Because I have cooked so many of the recipes that you can find at annavecchino.com.
You have?
Bacon broccoli is something I cook twice a week. And I have two boys, 8 and 5. The 5-year-old actually asks for bacon broccoli.
Bacon
like
broccoli is dope.
Night.
It's so good.
Dude, it's so easy to cook. I use your pizza sauce recipe, your fathead pizza crust recipe, your orange popovers. You had like a steak with balsamic vinegar. Like I have tried so many of your recipes and
they're all pretty simple. I'm not like reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah, I am not like an expert in the kitchen. I do all the cooking for the family because my wife is very, very busy.
He's an expert in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Expert in many things, Mark. But like if I can follow these recipes, anybody can. And so that was one of the big struggles. God, I guess it's been about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, when Mark finally convinced me, hey, you should give up sugars, you can give up grains. I said the first thing everybody says when you tell them that, well, what the hell am I supposed to eat?
And isn't that funny where you think, like, what am I going to eat? Yeah, like a million other things.
There's
like,
no
there are
food.
A lot of other things.
Yeah. So after like 2 weeks of nothing but like, you know, steak and grilled chicken and steamed broccoli, I was like, all right, I want different foods. Well, that's how I got turned on to your Inventing show, and that's how I got turned on to your website. I'm dead serious. On my iPhone, I have a shortcut to your site so that I can click. Most of the things I cook all the time, I have it memorized now from your. But like,
they're pretty easy to kind of memorize. And once you have it memorized, you can be like, you know what? I don't have basil on hand, but I do have sage because I had to buy a whole pack of it.
Right.
What would that taste like? And then you could create something new. That's great. That's what recipes
are. That's cooking, right?
So I want to thank you for doing a lot of work to help people like us that are trying hard that aren't as smart in the kitchen. And I want to implore everyone out there who listens to this, who says the same thing, like, man, what am I supposed to eat? I don't know. Go to annavecchino.com. We'll reference it in the show notes, but it's really easy. Annavecchino.com. And you will find all kinds of stuff on there, but you find the recipes, and oh my goodness, they are incredible.
Hey, okay.
That's so nice.
Well, in the time we have left, I want you to be able to talk about
how much time do we have left?
We have 8 minutes.
Come on, we can go longer.
I can go longer if you guys can.
It's
you guys.
That's what she said.
I can go longer if you guys can.
So talk about your book. Don't you have a book? There's a book.
Yeah, you know what? I just got the first hard copy ever of it yesterday, and it's getting there.
Is Vinny on the cover with his shirt off?
That's a different book, thank God. No, you know what's on the cover is
you with your
zucchini noodles. No, I wouldn't be on the cover of my own book.
Mark,
that's so dumb.
Sorry.
Rick and Mark are on the cover.
Yes.
The book is It's on the way. Here's what I just found out. I was going to do print on demand, but they don't use a higher enough quality of paper. So I'm flipping through right now. I need like that nice, glossy, yes, heavier weighted paper to make the pictures really pop. So we're going to have to, I'm figuring, I have to buy like 10,000 copies now. But well, I'm figuring out, and there's some layout issues, but we're going to have it. It's coming out August 2nd. The ebook is already ready and it looks fabulous.
Awesome.
I am a hard copy cookbook fan.
Yes.
I have a million of them.
I'd prefer to have it hard copy because then I don't have to keep touching my phone.
Right. I was just going
to
say that.
With my dirty fingers to keep it from going to sleep.
Exactly.
Like, I'd rather have a hard copy.
Exactly. And the issue I'm having here, like for instance, this is kind of the center of the book when you open it, it's called the gutter. So like the words are kind of going too far into the gutter and then you'll have to put your hand on it to flatten it. And I don't want people to have to do, I want it to like sit so you could just read it.
Yeah.
And cook, you know, so it's like, I'm a cookbook expert because I've consumed a bajillion cookbooks.
So you know what the consumer wants to
see. Well, I'm basically doing it what I would like in a cookbook. However, there are so many restrictions when you're self-publishing it. We could not get fancy with this thing at all, or else it would just be cost prohibitive. And I would have to basically pay a couple bucks every time somebody wanted to buy the book. And I can't do that.
Yeah.
But because big publishers have like a lot of, anyway, I'm not going to complain about it. It's fine. Well, I'll figure it out. But you know, to me, I want it to just be really, this has been 3 years in the making.
Wow.
The second one will come out much sooner because now I know how to write a recipe properly.
Yeah.
Now I know how to format stuff. Now I know I had to teach myself food photography. So I know that now. And I know how to photograph every recipe. This book does not have a photograph for every single recipe.
Speaking of photographs,
what I would like.
Are you on Snapchat?
Oh my God, I love Snapchat.
Really?
Yeah. Are you guys on Snapchat?
Rick hates it, but I'm obsessed with it.
I don't hate it, but I look at it like I would do like the new Pokemon game that I'm like, all right, people might be enjoying that, but me, I enjoy my life simplicity, how I am right now, and I don't want to get like hopelessly addicted to something
else.
He's
an old man.
So I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Snapchat, I'm not doing Pokemon.
What's your username, Anna?
Anna Vecino on Snapchat.
All one word?
I am obsessed with Snapchat because...
I just added you.
It's a forgiving app. It's 10 seconds. It's, to me, somebody who sees a lot of comedy in the world around her. Like, I feel like the universe constantly delivers me stupidity, and I like Snapchat for capturing what's happening.
Well, that leads me to another good
medium for comedians.
That's something also I wanted to start hitting on. So I'm friends with you on Facebook, and I've seen
that
you do a bunch of stand-up.
Montage.
Yeah, you can add that to the bragging montage. But I see that you're doing a bunch of like stand-up comedy now. Like, how did that come? Tell me that story, how that came about.
I'm an actor. That's why I pay my bills.
Right.
So I mostly do voiceover work, as you know, from your things.
Yeah. Free things.
And in fact, today I'm going to go do a cartoon at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
so that's going to be fun.
That's good. That's awesome. What cartoon? Is it anything?
I had to sign an NDA, so I can't say what it is yet. But and unfortunately with cartoons, they don't come out till like a year later. But one project I can talk about that I'm in, that's coming out in a couple weeks, it's called Batman, The Killing Joke. And it's actually the origin story of the Joker.
Oh.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to say what role I play, but I play a really fun little juicy role. And my scenes are with Mark Hamill, but I never got to meet him. And that bummed me out. But at least I finally worked with Mark Hamill, right?
That's really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill, of course, the swimmer, the Olympic swimmer.
Nope.
Of course.
Oh, no, he's the figure skater. Figure skater. I'm sorry. I get him mixed up. anyway, so see, I think I could be a stand-up comedian. So I just presented
you probably
you with,
could.
I just presented you with a joke that was funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, stand-up comedians, a girl that I went to high school with is a stand-up comedian. She has a book coming out soon, and it's Aaron Judge. And she and I were talking a few days ago on Facebook, and it's just amazing how much like effort and how hard it is to come up with like a good set of usable material.
You write literally hundreds of jokes, and then you're like, "I'm going to take two of those and weave this into the like." It's almost not worth it, as far as anything that you should ever do with your time. But I love it, so I'm going to do it.
Did
improv for years. When I was in Atlanta, I started an improv theater with my friends.
Cool.
It's still there, 22 years later.
Wow.
And so I did improv for years, and I always wanted to do stand up. So I wound up going and taking a class and working with a writer's group, and that like really dialed it in.
Who are your comedian like mentors? Like, who do you like?
like, well, I mean, they're not like personal mentors, but the people that I love, of course, Louis C.K., Amy Schumer. I think she's amazing. Yeah. I love Whitney Cummings. I love Margaret Cho. I love Sarah Silverman. I love Jen Kirkman. I love Chelsea Handler because she doesn't apologize.
Yeah.
She's just always herself. Most of these people don't apologize, by the way. Jim Gaffigan? Of these people are just out there.
Jim Gaffigan, you either love him or you hate him.
I love Jim Gaffigan.
Okay.
But I don't watch his stuff as much just because I don't relate as much, but I think he's so clever and so smart.
Okay, is it okay to ask her to like give us a joke or two?
That would be weird.
It's not the right setting.
I have some things up at annavicino.com maybe I've been told now I'm supposed to put them on YouTube because that's where you get the people looking. I don't know. I don't know.
Or Snapchat.
There's too many things. There's too much stuff you have to do with your life online. I just can't. I'm done right now. I'm done. Except I'm not done because I have a book to promote.
I think Jamie Foxx. I like Jamie Foxx's stuff.
Jamie Foxx.
He's like really
smart.
Can
do no wrong.
I know. Oh, do you listen to the Tim Ferriss podcast by any chance?
So
have you listened to the Jamie Foxx?
All of it. Yes.
After listening to that, I was like, I liked Jamie Foxx before and like thought he was very talented. After I listened to him for like
then
a 2 hours,
like, he's the Jamie.
Yeah. Like he's like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. And
he's amazing. And I loved hearing his story. You know what I loved? The nugget that I loved from that was that he said he would take what he thought was his most black material and do it for a white audience and see what they laughed at.
Right.
And he would take his most white material and do it for a black audience and see what they laughed at. And then he would choose what crossed over and that became his set. And talk about like a time commitment to do, to come up with 30 minutes that will cross over with different kinds of audiences.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
he's just
genius.
You just think like he's just up there and he's going to do characters and he's just a goofball. He is like the most intelligent, smartest.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
I would like to be able to talk to him like on a personal. But I just want to be like, dude, tell me everything.
And he's like he's sitting there with his piano and he's like playing the piano.
Oh my
gosh. Like what
he
the
can,
heck?
He can do anything.
Seriously, I would.
I guess I haven't seen any of his stand up. The funniest thing I've ever seen Jamie Foxx do though once.
Shanae.
Do what?
Shanae.
No,
I'm a rock y'all world.
It's
Shanae came from his stand-up.
Right.
Yeah.
He starts in on a heckler, I think at like a roast or something like that, and he just – I got to find this, and this is off the cuff. It's been a year since I've seen it, but, man, he lays in on this guy, and it is like the funniest thing I've ever seen ever. And it's all improv. It's all off the cuff, but it is amazing how quickly he can think and process information.
So do you have a show? Like, are you performing anywhere?
I am performing tomorrow night at the Ice House with Vinny. That's going to be a fun show. I just did Sunday night at the Ice House.
Awesome.
I put show dates up on my website. So I will, it's all there.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the podcast. How's the podcast going?
The podcast is going amazingly well, especially now that Vinny's doing a once a month or twice a month segment over at Adam Carolla. It's generated a lot of new traffic and a lot of new listeners, which is great, especially in time for the cookbook to come out. But it's interesting because Vinny and I both try to answer as many questions as possible on Twitter. We make ourselves very available in that way.
Yes, you do.
Because there's a lot of clarifying questions people have, and they're not going to necessarily go and listen to, 50 hours of the most recent 50 podcasts, although they should. But, we try to connect with people.
You're just at Anna Vicino, right?
On everything.
Yeah. Okay.
You
said you try to connect with people, and then I interrupted.
We try to connect with people and help to answer questions. And I do know now, like, one of the bonuses for pre-ordering the book, which actually I'm going to go onto Amazon right now because it's supposed to be up today.
Cool.
If you pre-order the book, and you email your receipt to eathappycookbook@gmail.com. Everybody who does that is going to get a bonus PDF with extra recipes, 4 weeks of meals, like 4 weeks of dinners, I call it, where it's basically organized. If you want to really get a schedule, this will help you. Yeah. And then, what's it called? I'm going to do a webinar, like a thank you webinar to everybody who pre-ordered and talk about how to get the crap out of your kitchen, how to get started with this stuff. Because most of my audience are people who are new. They're fairly new to cooking. Like what you were talking about earlier, Rick. Like they're like, if I'm not eating processed food, if it's not done for me, how do I do this?
Or like all I do is like I can cook a steak. That's about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I could put food on a piece of fire and that's it.
But exactly. But maybe buying a bunch of asparagus is like, well, what the hell do I do with this?
Yeah.
Like it's not like intuitive to know how to do these things. You have to be taught somehow. So it's not like I'm teaching cooking, but I'm trying to make it as simple as possible.
Right. You're bringing good, healthy food to all kinds of people, to smart people who know how to cook and to dumb people like me a couple years ago who didn't have any idea what to do in the kitchen. You're a broad mass appeal.
She is abroad. She's
up.
Abroad.
It's up. It's up on Amazon. It's
cool.
up on Amazon.
Awesome. We're gonna.
You guys.
That's so exciting. Are you so excited? This is crazy. This is breaking news.
Yes.
This is happening right now.
So you go.
Oh my God.
To, Mark, we need to do like a link, like a banner.
Oh yeah. No.
Here,
we will.
I'm gonna email it to you guys right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. We'll definitely. I already made a note of it. That's awesome. Are you like kind of? Are you shocked right now? Are you like excited?
Yeah. I'm freaking out. I don't know what's happening.
Awesome.
You're like, I gotta go and call my publicist.
I gotta go. Yeah.
Well, we talk a lot about, you know, how to move healthy like a human, how to enjoy life like a human, how to sleep like a human. But to me, the hardest thing is how to eat like a human because I haven't found very many cookbooks, if any at all, that have stuff like this. I was a pretty active member of the Vinnie Tortorich Facebook group, and I got tons of recipes and ideas off of that. And I'm friends with Lonnie and Ruel and, you know, Tom Smedley and those, the, you know, that cast of characters. So we always are giving each other good ideas of stuff to eat. But this is like the first genuine, like, no sugar, no grain, healthy human food cookbook that I know of.
Well, and let me give a cookbook. Sorry, burped. The cookbook.
Wow.
Another.
He doesn't care. He just burps on the air. Hold on. Let me rip one. Okay.
He's like the non-swearing version of Vinny.
Right.
So let me give the cookbook a plug. Like what you said, Rick, about how the nutrition part, the eat part, is like the hardest thing. Because like with sleep, it's like, all right, set up your sleep environment. And then it's over. Like, then you have it. Like, with
you just got to sleep. Yeah.
Right. So, like, with your movement stuff, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this movement. And then you don't really have to think about it. With food, it's so dynamic. There's so many different options. There's so many things that if you have a repertoire, a collection of good cookbooks that you know, you don't have to flip through one for 10 minutes to find one that doesn't have, you know, X amount of this or that. Like, you know, they're so valuable. Like, you get what you pay for, people. So, buy the book. How about that?
Thank you. That's so nice. Yeah.
I am without even opening a page, I can tell you I already wholeheartedly endorse this book because of the stuff, your pari history on annavicino.com. So this is – I am going to pre-order today. I am encouraging everyone who listens to this show to pre-order, to buy, not just to make you rich, but because, hey, you will get a ton of use out of this. If this is something that you have questions about how to eat like a human, this is going to answer your questions.
Well, and I got to say, as a cookbook owner, now I know a little more of what to look for in cookbooks. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, there are a lot of cookbooks I own where I maybe made one thing and then I was like, it's beautiful, but I'm like, no.
That was too hard.
I don't want that to be the response with this cookbook. I want it to be like, ooh, you can literally pick any recipe. It's going to be easy to make. Some are a little more labor intensive than others. Things like the shepherd's pie with cauliflower mash has more steps to it. Yeah. Chicken tikka masala has more steps to it. But then there's other things like prosciutto wrapped peaches.
Was that a curse word? Did you just cuss? Was that what did you say? Tikka masala, saka taka.
Chicken tikka masala.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said a cuss word.
That's one that I've been wanting to try, but you're right. It's a little bit more, you know, cooking intensive. So
it is.
Graduate to the senior level of cooking.
It's not even senior level. It's just more labor intensive because there's more steps, more prep. You know, there's got to, brown the chicken, put it aside, sweat the vegetables, start the soup. You know, it's like making a complicated soup, chicken tikka masala, but it's... Listen, it turns out more like a soup because you're not thickening it with flour. Some of these things are going to be a little different.
Yeah. Because you use a lot of coconut flour, a lot of almond flour, stuff like that. So like your popovers, you talked about your popovers earlier.
Yeah.
They're, the consistency, I think you said this too, they're more dense than like a traditional popover because they're made with coconut flour. But, I mean, they're still good. They're still really, really good. It's just slightly different than what you're used to. But it's a great thing because people think that certain foods need to be eaten at certain times of the day. And so, like, that's one of the things that we get a lot from people is, what do I eat for breakfast? Oh, my God, I'm so tired. I'm bacon and eggs, bacon and eggs, bacon and eggs. What do I eat for breakfast? Well, this is a great little example that, man, I make your chia seed pudding all the time, and I eat that for breakfast.
Pudding.
That's a good one for breakfast.
It's really, really, really easy to make. It stays in your refrigerator, and you can eat it in the time that you would eat a bowl of cereal. So,
I love it. What? Oh, my gosh. Listen, I need it, honestly, for me, too, because this is a very vulnerable thing to do, to make a book, to work on something for 3 years, and then put it out there. And it's just me. Like, it's my flapping out in the wind if it's not good.
And it came on Amazon
well received.
While you were on the air with us.
Huh?
And it like went on Amazon like when
I know.
You were on the
That's
air.
So cool. You guys are my good luck charm.
Yep.
So, you know, it's obviously I care about it. Obviously I want it to be well received and it's a scary thing. So I appreciate the nice feedback and thank you for saying that,
awesome.
For articulating that.
Well, Anna, we are going to wrap this up. We're going to ask you a question. I'm not sure we asked you this when you were on with Vinny, but even if we did, we'll ask you again. What is something you enjoy about life or one thing you do to make life more enjoyable?
Doesn't have to be related to anything we've talked about.
It can
right
be
now.
Something other than cooking and comedy.
I love visiting cities, and I love hiking.
Oh, visiting cities. We didn't even get to talk about your trip to Paris and Italy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I love to. I love walking. I love walking and going on adventures. Like, I love disappearing into a city and just walking for out like 6 to 8 hours and not knowing where we're going or where we are.
Well, that's awesome. We had a guy on very early on, Anna, that when we asked him that question, he paused. He's really old. That's probably, what, Rick, 85-year-old guy.
He sounded very, very old.
And he said, well, there's always sex.
That was the one thing he enjoyed about life, a million-year-old man talking about boning.
Yeah, I was like, geez, so that's been a classic. So, Anna, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
We're gonna
thank you for your kind words.
Yeah, thank you for rescheduling last second to accommodate.
Oh, no problem. Yeah.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
Thank you, Anna. That was awesome. We're going to have the links to all her stuff in the show notes. This is going to come out before August. Did you say August 4th or August 2nd is when the book comes out?
I think she said August 2nd is when the hardcover hits, I think is what she said. But you can go to her website, annavecino.com, and pre-order the book. You can also look through some of the other recipes she's posted. Like, I'm not sitting here kissing her rear end on this.
Yeah.
It's been a completely invaluable resource to me trying to cook healthy food that doesn't have sugar, doesn't have grains, the stuff we talk about for me and my family. So go, and this will not be wasted money.
Yeah.
This will not be like the cookbook that you make like two recipes out of and then it sits on the shelf. You're going to wear this thing out. Absolutely. I guarantee it.
Do it. Before we get to the Humans Being Human, really quickly, I mentioned this in the intro. I wanted to briefly describe the new like monthly subscription coaching programming agreement that I've got. So this is on the website right now. Typically, it's been $150 a month for a month of programming and then access to me for any questions regarding any of the four pillars. What we're doing now, I've sort of streamlined the process. I've gotten a few more clients that I'm working with now. And so what I'm doing now is first month is $150 to do that comes with like a 30-minute consult to figure out kind of where you are, and then that is a month of programming, movement programming, and a month.
Tell me what you're talking about programming.
Like
people who don't speak your trainer speak.
Yeah, like working out.
Workout plans.
Right, workout plans. And then access to me within 24 hours, response, email, text. You send me videos of you doing, if we're remote, if you're not in town, send me videos of your squats or your deadlifts, and I'll critique you and all that stuff.
So these are all the things that you do for me and been doing for me for years, but I just don't have to pay for it.
Right, correct.
So you can either pay Mark $150 to do this, or you can do a podcast with him, and then he will do it.
Or go back in time and grow up with me from the time I was 10.
No Mark for 25 years, and then he might cut you a break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then,
so the first month you said is $150.
$150, that includes the consult and then the access and the programming. For every month after that, a consecutive month, that price drops down to $85 a month. So for $85, you're getting the programming and then the full access for questions, for critiques, movement critiques, anything like that. So
that makes sense because after the first month, you would figure, you know, form is more correct. You have less questions.
Right.
So it's, so it used to be $150 every month.
Right.
Now if you stick with it, it's a huge, what is that? My math's not good. $65 off a month. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So simplyhumanlifestyle.com. And then if you go to the store page, this will be that there's a PayPal button, or you can just email me if you want to set it up. Just email me and I can email you a link to set up the consult and do all that stuff. So anyway,
simplyhumanlifestyle@gmail.com.
Right. So there's that. All right. It is now time for Humans Being Human. And my good friend Chad, who we mentioned in the intro, we sent him dog crap. This is not about that. This is about juicing and, I don't know what, like
just
a ravenous juicing story. Okay, it is Humans Being Human. We've got Chad on the line, and this is the Chad from the dog prank double cross story. So, Chad, I just once again, I'm sorry.
Mark, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I know.
You should be ashamed. All trust was lost. You should be ashamed.
We were wondering if it was illegal because Rick's thought was we should have sent human turds.
Yeah, I would have thought that would be way funnier if you were to do that.
Frankly, I'm surprised as well. Yeah. Knowing people that executed this terrible travesty, I'm surprised as well.
Well, didn't you say your wife was like walking by when you opened it? You thought it was brownies. And she, and
oh, I was like, oh, this is great. You got yeah. brownies. And she's like,
starts retching.
Gagging, yeah. like, oh, God, it was terrible.
It's like the Austin Powers thing. He's like drinking it, and he's like, it's a bit nutty. okay, so Rick, Chad, as we've already mentioned, he's part of the Tournament of Champions. He's actually a three-time champion.
That's correct. I am a two-time champion. I should have been three. Yep. One of our members pulled another double cross. Ultimately, they stole the championship away from Toby and I. It's shameful.
Yeah. So lots of fun there. That's coming up in a couple of months. Looking very forward to that. It's always Rick. It's always like that weekend is always like right around Chad's wife's birthday. So it's like he's having to come do this weekend, which, you know, just by itself is kind of like this. Really? You're going to go do that? And it's always like around her birthday. So he's always got to navigate that. But anyway, Chad has a story. All I know about is it's about juicing. Rick has never juiced. Have you, Rick?
Like juiced like a vegetable?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
so like
Jose Canseco.
No, no. Like a vegetable juicing. I have some juicing experience, which I'm sure we'll get into. So Chad, take it away.
Okay, guys. In the interest of the story aligning, you know, Simply Human, I was like, what could be a good one that would the people that listen to your podcast would appreciate? And I'll set the backstage. I am a large man. I'm a cool 6'5", 325 pounds. And juicing has not been a part of my life or really any normal diet for that matter. So my bride is a health nut. She is incredibly fit, and she just constantly wears me out about losing weight and getting on a diet. And I was like, all right, babe, let's do this. I'm committed. So she got this ridiculous juicer. So she got the juicer. You know, we got all the vegetables. She's like, all right, here's the deal. We're going to go to the farm for a weekend. We're secluded. We're away. All we'll have is juicing and books and the farm to do it. So we can get away from everything, get away from my local Taqueria Jalisco, which is my favorite spot. And so we roll out. We pack up. We have like $200 in vegetables, this ridiculous juicer, and we're off on our way.
I love how you always qualify the juicer as ridiculous.
I almost like I had a car payment on it. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And so we have this thing. So we get there, and you know, my wife describes my temperament when I haven't eaten or my sugar gets low as hangry.
Right.
And so we get there, she immediately starts making a juice. I pound the deal. I'm like, all right, I can do this thing. It's gonna be a long weekend. I got 3 days. I'm committed.
And she's all excited.
My bride.
Yeah, she's all energized for the weekend. And you're thinking like, how am I gonna get through this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, because I wasn't allowed to bring whiskey or anything. Like, I was like, at least I could drown my sorrows away at night. You know, like my hunger and.
Whiskey is juice.
Having it.
It's yeah. a kind of juice, right?
Yeah, whiskey is the juice of grain. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried the same angle, guys, and she wouldn't have any of it. So it was strictly health stuff. So, like, we're going through the weekend, and like, you know, midday Saturday, I'm like scrambling, man. I'm like, you know, like foraging for things to eat. And she kept, you know, she was getting wind of it. She's like, no, I have another juice. So like,
I can't imagine how much, like, how many vegetables it would take to get you a juice that would fill you up.
I was just thinking that same thing, like a. That you see, like them loading like the huge crates of like watermelons at the zoo for the elephants, something like that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It was crazy. So I mean, the amount of vegetables being consumed was ridiculous. So we get through the weekend. Okay?
Chad is like eating. Sunday. He's eating the pulp, like it's like something solid.
So we get to the weekend, and no lie, I lost 15 pounds weekend. And, like, my pants were fitting in crowds. Like, man, there's something to this thing. You know, I was like, I was hallucinating. Cause I mean, I was like, I didn't have any like real food. So I was like, really, like, I didn't have a lot of energy. I was kind of lethargic, but I was like, man, I lost 15 pounds.
I look good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, my wife, she's like, yeah, what'd I tell you? You know, you've done it, you know? So on our way home, I'm lobbying for a Whataburger. I'm like, you know, hey, maybe, you know, I lost so much weight. Can I get a burger on the way home? She's like, absolutely not. You just, like, this isn't stock, Chad. Like, you still got to go another week.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. What are you talking about another week? Like, this is supposed to be a weekend deal. She's like, Chad, you got to stick with it. You got another, you know, 40 pounds to lose. So I was just getting fired up. I was like, man, there was silence in the car. I was just like thinking about what that was going to look like for the next week of my life having to deal with this juice thing.
You look over at your wife, and it's like one of those cartoons where, like, the guy's in the desert island and sees his partner's like a giant chicken leg instead of a person.
You have no idea. I was like, oh my God. I was like, it was so we get, so her farm is near Round Top, okay, which is kind of between Austin and Houston.
Okay.
At the time, we were living on North Padre Island, so that's a good 3.5 hour drive to get to the farm. So we get to the island. I'm pissed off. I'm hungry. I was not looking forward to another ginger juice, whatever the hell it was. And I opened the garage. The garage is opening up, and my meat freezer, you know, where I kept all my game meat, you know, meat, all my processed meats, somehow, like, the compressor went out.
Oh, no.
So I noticed that, like, it's still cold in there, but I could tell that
there
it
was
stopped
defrosting.
Freezing over the weekend. Yeah. So there's blood, like, you know, in the meat juice is coming out of the fridge.
You start licking it up off the floor.
So I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, I mean, we had thousands of dollars of, you know, processed deer in there. I was like, Ellen, we're gonna have to cook all this tonight. I was like, there's so much, there's no way we could give it all away, you know. And I was like, we're not gonna let it go bad. So I was like, we're gonna have to cook like 400 pounds of meat.
You're like, this is a financial decision, Ellen.
So yeah. I can't make this up. You can imagine, in the state of hunger in which I was, I haven't had any real food in like 4 days, and like, I'm looking at all this meat. And so we had this, at the time, we had this big kitchen, and so we laid everything out. I had this, you know, big six burner Viking stove. So we had like six pots going, and we're just like, we're just getting after cooking all this meat up, packaging it up. And I was good for the first like 45 minutes. And I was like, I had cold sweats because I was staring at the meat. I was so hungry. And Ellen went out. She went out of the kitchen for like just a brief moment, and I literally was like, "I can't take it anymore!" And I just started like grabbing handfuls of meat and just shoving it in my mouth. And she's like, "Don't do it, Chad! Don't do it!" And I swear, I mean, she just started wailing on me with a dinner towel.
So
but I got a good like three handfuls of like meat and
grease.
I look like a cannibal. Look like a cannibal on an island. I have, you know, meat juices all over my face, and
so she thought that you could cook. She thought that y'all could cook the meat and then just and then eat it after the juice fast was completed. That was her thought, and your thought was, I'm gonna sneak. Can you imagine, like, the smell of the fat and the grease and the meat? Like, there's no way you could have not eaten the meat. You're a man.
I got to tell you, it wasn't even like a logical thought process that I would sneak the meat. It literally was cannibalistic tendencies. I attacked the plate. I was like, I got to do it. It was survival. It was literally one of those caveman survival instincts, just grabbing it with my bare hands. Like, I even scalded my thumb from the pot. It was.
You got one hand like scooping the meat, and the other hand is like holding Ellen at bay, like with her on her forehead. She's like swinging at you. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That's I did 2 15-day juice fasts, vegetable juice only, and I lost like, you know, I didn't have a lot of weight to lose, and I lost like 20 pounds both times. And it's just, by the end of it, you have no energy. It's just horrible. I don't know why anyone would do that for longer than, I mean, maybe a day.
It seems like a terrible plan.
Yeah, horrible plan. But Well, Chad, this has been the meat juice story. So thank you for joining us. We're going to actually, Rick, we're going to have Chad on sometime in like August, September to talk about some cool things that he has going on that I think fall in line with the Enjoy Life pillar. So we're going to have Chad back on. So this is just a little taste of Chad. Taste of Chad. And Chad, we will see you soon. Thanks for doing this.
Pleasure, guys. You have a great one.
Thank you, Chad.
By the way, I'm just Googling right now. I didn't occur to me to Google it until now. I type in, is it legal to MA? And it autofills with, is it legal to mail human ashes? Oh. Is it legal to mail a human? And the third response is it legal to mail human feces? So I'm clicking on that.
Okay.
And I'm going to...
This is the tip of the week, by the way. Send one of your friends human feces.
Hang on.
Just kidding.
Let me click this top link here on Find Law. Hang on.
This is sense. I'm so anxious.
This is like a lawyer's blog. Yeah. Okay. It could be considered harassment in some states if it's intended to annoy, harass, or intimidate. So it's not on its surface.
Okay.
But it does not appear to be illegal to mail a human turd.
So
it just depends on what you're trying to convey.
So if you're sending it out of love, it's not illegal.
Yes, I love you. Here is some poop.
Well, thank you for doing that for us, Rick. That was Rick's Cop Corner with Rick and mailing turds. Okay, it is now time for the Assembly Human Tip of the Week, something you start doing today to become more healthy human. And it goes back to something we talked about with Anna. Cook.
Yes.
Cook something.
And I'll tell you, that is such a great tip in its simplicity because – yes, I have a list of like restaurants I can go to and the foods that I get. I go to Mexican restaurants, get fajitas without the tortillas. Or I go – there's a world-famous barbecue place right around the corner from my house. I go there. I get meat. I go to Chipotle and get a salad. But like – so I have a list of like if I'm out away from the house, places I can get food that's, you know, in line with what we talk about. But you never really know unless you're making it yourself.
Right.
You never know what kind of hidden sugars. God, there are so many hidden sugars in so many different foods, salad dressings and all kinds of stuff like that. You never know unless you're making it yourself exactly what's in it. And I can tell you, like the meal I made last night, which wasn't much. It was, you know, grilled beef tri-tip and steamed broccoli with butter. I can tell you exactly what was in all that because I made it myself.
Yeah.
If I were to get that at a restaurant, I don't know necessarily what's in that. But also, it just kind of... For me, it's like an exercise in being intentional about my diet.
Yeah,
it's almost like communing with food and communing with my body. Like, hey, I'm doing this and I'm putting forth the effort because I want my family to know how important they are to me. So I'm making them food, and it's important for me to fuel my body with good food.
Well, that's why. Yeah, and I always like that we talked about Michael Pollan in the interview with Anna, but he's got another book called In Defense of Food, and he's got a little pamphlet, Food Rules. One of his food rules is if you're gonna have a treat, make it from scratch, right? So like if you're gonna have ice cream, like make homemade ice cream. If you're gonna have pie, like don't just go buy a pie, like make a pie. And that to me, like if you're cooking, like that gives you a little bit more leeway on the human food boundaries because you're doing it. You're putting the time in. You're not just gonna have all this highly palatable food that you just came from the restaurant or something like I don't know. To me, like you can have some homemade ice cream a few times a week if you're making it yourself and you're putting the ingredients in and you are taking the time to put that investment into your health. Like I think that's there's some meditative properties when you're cooking. You can't be worried about tomorrow. You can't be thinking about something that happened earlier that day. Like you're very focused on the present because you're gonna put a tablespoon of salt instead of a teaspoon. So cook.
But also like it's several other reasons why I like to cook is beyond the health aspect of it. It's cheaper. It's so much easier on the budget, and we don't have a ton of money just floating around, so it makes it easier to save your money. But also, I think I hit on this just a minute ago. It's a way that I show my family that I care about them. I do all the cooking because my wife's very busy. So this is a way that I show my wife and my two kids that like, hey, I slaved over this meal for 30 or 40 minutes in an effort to show you like what I think about you.
Yeah.
Like that's why I made you healthy food is
instead
because
of like,
I want you to be a healthy person.
Here's some fried chicken. Shut up.
although sometimes we'll straight up do that.
Oh, yeah, like, so will we.
Yeah, but most of the time.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like if you're cooking a lot, go out and have a nice dinner every now and then out to eat and don't have any dishes to do. Like, that's fine. Like, just, you know, just make sure that you're – just this week, cook a couple of times. How about that?
Yes. Okay. Buy Anna's cookbook and use that to help you learn how to cook if you're not comfortable cooking. So there.
There it is. All right. Coming up next time, really excited to have – remember Jenny LaBaugh, who was on, very famous Jenny LaBaugh. Her boyfriend, Marcus Brown, is a professional. I know. Like, you Google Marcus Brown, it's actually kind of funny. Like, he's pretty close to the top, like, because he's a very, very famous water skier, professional water skier. If YouTube Marcus Brown and watch some of this stuff, it's – you think you know about water skiing until you watch some of it. It's unbelievable.
I know a lot about water skiing squirrels. That's what I like to see on my Facebook feed, craziness,
right,
ranting,
right,
and raving.
Right. So he's coming up next time, and we've got a lot of cool guests coming up. Yuri Elkheim is going to be on the show. He actually reached out to us, his publicist. He's been on Dr. Oz and is a best-selling author.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me about that.
So that's really cool. We've got a lot of cool guests coming up. If you have people that you would like to have on the show, us to have on the show, email us, simplyhumanlifestyle@gmail.com. You can include Rick on that, simplyhumanrick@gmail.com. If you donate to the Simply Human Podcast, you will get an extremely long and weird and inappropriate email from Rick.
Yeah, what I wrote the other day, the cactus. On Dead Serious, it took me 45 minutes to write.
Well, when I saw how long it was, I was like, I'm not reading this. And then I was like, I read the first sentence, and you got me. You just like perfect, it's like writing class. Like, draw them in.
I figured that I owed him a pretty good email because you sent that to me like 6 weeks ago, and I just didn't have a lot of creative juices flowing, didn't have something immediately funny to send back, and so I gave it some thought, and
and it was funny because he gave us like $10, and he was like, man, he was like, all that for $10? He's like, imagine if you gave like $50, like, what kind of a book would you get from Rick? So that happens if you donate now on the Donate Now button, which is on the show notes, or to go to the simplyhumanlifestyle.com/store or go to the store page. So go to the website. I already just mentioned it. Like us on Facebook, @simplyhuman52 is all my social media stuff. Leave us a review on iTunes. Y'all know the drill.
Maybe I'll do a Periscope here pretty soon.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you for everybody. We know there's a lot of things, a lot of options out there. Thank you for making us part of your day. That is going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember, it would have been way funnier if you would have yourself crapped in the bag.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.